Part of.
Today we're in the seventh doctrine on spiritual gifts. So far we have studied the principle of grace, the doctrine of grace, dispensation, spirituality, the faith cycle, the will of God, positional truth, and today we're talking about spiritual gifts. We'll talk today and next week on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is one of the key doctrines that's absolute missing in the local church. If you don't have spiritual gifts, you come up with your own idea of programs. And they will not serve the plan of God in the church age, those programs. They may secondary serve them, but they won't primarily serve them. Because the church, in the dispensation of the church, the local church body, as well as universal, the local church is just a reflection of the universal church. It's a visual look at the universal church, where every person at the moment of salvation is placed into the body of Christ. The local church is a look at that. It's kind of like a funeral is a look at what the next life is going to be from here to there. So the church is a visual aid of the universal church that we are a part of. When the rapture comes, the universal church will leave the earth. But the universal church is made up of local churches. Every local church is just like the universal church. It's been equipped by God for ministry. You don't have to come up with a ministry concept. God's already had it. All we have to do is apply what He's got. You don't have to come up with some kind of program or system. He already has it. What you have to do is implement it. Spiritual gifts is the functional program of the church. When I first went into ministry, in a denominational ministry, I stepped into a church that was already had been already as a church had already been in existence probably, geez, I don't know, maybe 100 years. So I inherited it, so to speak. What they accumulated over 100 years, that's what I got. And, of course, I didn't understand spiritual gifts, so I took over the program life of the church. And we just had all kinds of difficulty. Always had difficulty staffing it. Always had difficulty. We were always behind in finances to do it. We were always behind in manpower to do it. We thought we had these programs. They had to be done. We were always begging people to serve, to serve, to serve, to serve. And it was frustrating to everybody. But I didn't know any difference about it until I began to study some of these teleology type of doctrines, some of these essential doctrines. One of the doctrines I ran across to it, as a young pastor, was the doctrine of spiritual gifts. And I went, whoa, there it is. God has His own program. I don't have to create a program for God to operate. You know, we create the program, then tell God to get on board. That's not the way it works. I mean, God has a program, and He tells you to get on board. But I didn't know that. They didn't teach me that in my seminary training. So when I left that, went to work with Mr. Graham, and then left Mr. Graham to go back into the church ministry, when I went around to interview for a church, you know, you had to go interview for churches. I had went all over the United States interviewing for churches because I was well known through Mr. Graham, not because I was well known any other way, but people knew me. And when I told them my concept of spiritual gifts, that one of the things I wanted to do is let's scratch our programs, put spiritual gifts, teach them. We'll run the programs like you have it for 2 years. Give me 2 years to implement spiritual gifts, the teachings on spiritual gift. After 2 years, we'll just fade them out and fade gifts in. Well, there wasn't a church in America that would have me. They thought I was the nuttiest person in the whole wide world. No matter how much I showed them from the Word of God, they thought that was insane. Spiritual gifts as the life of the church was absolutely insane. I couldn't find one church that I was interviewed with that liked the idea. Not one. Well, I'm telling you that that's how our church runs. We don't have any programs. If we have programs, they're out of gifts. Not of any. And we always have 100% staffed. Because if you have a gift. Every person sitting here that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has spiritual gifted ministry in this church. You have one. Now, next 2 weeks, I'm going to show you what they are, and you're going to determine what they are, and then you're going to begin to activate it. And if you don't do it, then we won't have it. That's just that simple. And what you have in me is my spiritual gift, the pastor teacher. It's going to exercise itself. So when you come here, you're going to have a learning experience with me. I have the gift of pastor teacher. I'm going to teach, and you're going to learn if you have a will for it. So spiritual gifts, as we're going to do an introduction to it today, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. There are three major passages on spiritual gifts. Now, at the top of your paper, write these down, because they're not on your paper. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. First Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Chapters. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 chapters. They talk about spiritual gifts. And they talk about the pros and the cons about them. Romans 12, chapter 12. And Ephesians 4. Now, those are the main passages. Al read from another one, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And there are other mention of gifts, but when you read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4, you get a list of all the gifts. If you count up all the gifts, and don't count them twice, but if you go to Romans 12 and go to 1 Corinthians 12 and go to Ephesians 4, you count up all the gifts, you're going to come up with either 19 or 20. And the difference between 19 and 20 is whether or not you believe there's a separate gift called teacher other than pastor. If you believe there is another gift called teacher other than pastor teacher, then you'll have 20 gifts. And if you believe that's one gift, you will have one. You'll have 19. So there are 19 in my mind. There are 19 or 20. Depending on how you interpret. And we'll go through all that. But there are 19 spiritual gifts. You have one in this church, you have one of 19 gifts. You have a gift. There is no indication that you have more than one, but there's no indication you have that you don't have more than one. There's nothing in the Bible that tells me one way or the other. What the Bible tells me is that you do have a gift. The Bible is clear that in the post-canon period, before the Bible was completed, that there were in the apostolic period of the church, people had multiple gifts, but that was the reason that some gifts were going to disappear in their lifetime. So there were multiple gifts then because some gifts were going to disappear and everybody has to have a gift. Hello? We'll talk about that. You got your gift. Gifts came into the human existence, into the life of the plan of God in 30 AD. Some went out in 70 AD. Some went out in 100 AD. And so if you're one of those people that was in there, there were multiple gifts because everybody has to have a gift. There's no such thing as an ungifted believer in the church age. There's no such thing. Everybody has a spiritual gift. It's not by your choice, it's by divine design. So, you may have never heard this before. Okay, so you need to pay attention. Because you have a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is very important, not only to the universal church, but to the local church. And if you feel that this is a good place for you to be right now because of spiritual growth and because you've connected with other people, listen, you've connected with other people because of their gifts. We don't have anything else. People have ministered to your life through their gifts. And you've chose to come to this church for a multitude of reasons, but I can tell you why God sent you, because you have a spiritual gift that we need. And He sent you here because we have gifts that you need. I mean, the wonderful thing for a pastor is to understand that I am in a church that gets ministered to as much as I minister. In other words, I'm not here just to minister to you. I'm here to be ministered by you. And it's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to have the gifts exercised to me. It is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So, here we are in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're looking at the first 13 verses for our study this morning. And notice down there, I outlined them. Notice that I have a four homiletical point outline. So when I read through these, kind of notice where we're going. For example, in the first three verses, we're talking about the message of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, unknowledgeable, without knowledge, the Bible says. You know that when you were pagans, the word in the Greek is a word that you get ethnic from in English and Gentile. You know that when you were pagans, and he doesn't mean pagan just in the sense, when he says pagan, he doesn't mean just you weren't saved. It means that you were engaged in a religion. When he says pagan, that's what he means. And he's going to say it. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, no matter how whatever door you got into that idolatry. Therefore, I make no, in other words, it could have been parents, it could have been school, it could have been community, it could have been a guy at work. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so he has made a point, is that spiritual gift, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit, is different than religions. You know what makes the church of Jesus Christ different than religion? Spiritual gifts. You understand? Of course, faith in Jesus Christ, like he said, and all of that. But it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit distributing spiritual gifts in the church. Because listen, if you don't have the gifts working the ministries, you've got demons working against it. You understand that? Did you not see it in the first three verses? If you had looked back to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he has already told you in verses 19 through 21 about the danger of pagan religions and idolatry. He says, what do I mean then, that if things sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things with the Gentiles, that is our word over there, pagan, for I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, their pagan religion, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to become sharers with demons. And then he goes on to talk about it. That subject he has brought over to the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. See, that subject matter he's brought over from chapter 10. Now, he talked about it in chapter 10, and so he's just mentioning it again. And he's mentioning again this, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts is what makes the Christian church different from religions, which run off from idolatry and demons. How about that? All right? False religion, pagan. All right? And listen, we get enormously criticized in Christianity when we tell, when somebody asks, well, you think you're the only religion? We go like, yeah. They go, oh, whoever heard such a thing? And I'm like, well, you ask me. What am I going to do, lie to you? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I can't help it that you can't, you struggle with that, but you ask me a question. I mean, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Absolutely, I believe it. And do I believe, if you don't believe it, you're in trouble? Yeah. Believe that. Now, it may not set well with you, but listen. In hell, you would have liked to have heard that different. So, you know, we are different. We are different than the rest of the pagan world of religion. Those who talk about God, the demons talk about God. The demons talk about Jesus. James, the second chapter, verse 9 says, even the demons believe and tremble. Come on. But what makes the Christian church unique is that we are all about the person of Jesus Christ, who became the work of propitiation for our salvation, who appeased the wrath of God and pulls us into the family of God forever on the basis of grace and not works. And that when he did that, he created within the church the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, one of them, is spiritual gifts. It's not the only, but it's one of the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit. One of the eight works of the Holy Spirit at salvation is to give you a spiritual gift. And it is your ministry in the church. The reason I'm a pastor teacher today, listen, I loved working for Billy Graham. That was the best out. I can't begin to tell you how much I love that job. That was the best job. And they were wonderful people to work for. But I discovered I had a spiritual gift. And the spiritual gift was pastor-teacher, and it had to be in a local church teaching people the Word of God. And I had to leave one of the best jobs I'd ever had in my life to do what God wanted me to do because I had a spiritual gift. And I couldn't serve that gift in Billy Graham. I had to serve it in the church. Not in Billy Graham. Couldn't find Billy Graham in the Bible. If I could have found it, I'd have stayed. But I couldn't find it. I found church, and I found pastor teacher. And I came to the church. I came back to the church to minister. And the key for me is spiritual gifts. As far as the functional program of a local church, is spiritual gifts. So, he talks about a message and he shows you why Christianity is different from religions. Verses 4 through 6, he talks about the mandate of spiritual gifts. Now watch this. There are variety of gifts, which means different. There are variety or different gifts. There are a variety of gifts, spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of performances or effects, but the same God who works all things in all. Look, that's the Godhead. They call that Trinity. You got God the Holy Spirit, God the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got God the Father, right? God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. Do you see him? Look at verse 4. There's the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there's the Lord. Verse 6, there's God. Do you see? Now listen to me. Anytime you see all members of the Godhead involved in something, involved in your life, woo, that's big. You understand? All three of them are involved in it. All three are involved in your salvation. All three are involved in giving you a spiritual gift. Now watch this. In verse 4, the Holy Spirit gives you the gift. In verse 5, the ministry that comes from it is the Lord, because he's the head of the church. And the power to perform it so that it fulfills the plan of God comes from God. He energizes. The gift is spiritual, and it works. It is energized by God himself. See, I spent a lot of time studying, but that's not where my pastorate, that's not where my gift is. My gift is in the exercise when I come to teach. It is the power the Spirit gave to me. The ministry is the Lord. What part of this belongs to me? The Spirit gave me the gift. The Lord has in charge of the ministry, and God energizes it to have an effect. He is the power behind the effect it has on people. What's my role? Trust and obey, I guess. What's mine? Mine is, okay, I have the gift. The Lord wants me to minister it. Okay. God's gonna empower me. God's going to energize the gift to do what the gift's designed to do, to have a learning experience acquire, happen in people. Mine, listen, I've got the best of all. You understand that? I just have to show up. I got to show up with some information. But when I get there, you know, it's to get out of the way and let God do what he sent me to do. Just, you know, the biggest thing is stay out of the way. It's taken me for years and years to figure that out. And I still struggle with it. Of course, you don't know that. So all three members of Godhead are involved. So there's a mandate. There's a mandate that comes from the Trinity or the Godhead.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.